Okay. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles again this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. We will begin reading, as we have been, starting in the 13th verse. Matthew 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." By the way, I encourage you all, the next time I preach, which should be a couple of weeks from now, bring a King James Bible or bring your smartphone or some other way of reading the King James Bible. It'll be part 30 next time, and I think the last part of this series. And I'd like for us to all read that verse together. And it's not going to sound very good if we're reading from different translations. So we're going to read it from the King James as we have been, and I'd like for you to join with me. So be prepared for that. Since next time I preach is going to be part 30, this must be part 29. And today we are going to talk about the ministry of the congregation. And I'm going to tell you up front that as much detail as you get today, there's so much more that could come from this. This is kind of a high-level overview of the ministry of a congregation. And there's so much more to get into, and I'm sure over the next months and so on and so forth, perhaps Jason, Michael, Eric, whoever's bringing the word, is going to perhaps touch on some of the things that are dealing with our part as a member of the congregation and what God wants to do. So this is not an exhaustive thing. You may have questions that need to be answered afterwards. You may think, well, okay, that gave me some sort of insight into that, but I've still got questions about this. That's good. It's good to have questions because there's answers out there. Sometimes you got to go dig for them. Sometimes the person you ask has to say, "Well, I'll come back to you. I got to dig myself on that one." But there are answers. And as long as we have a hunger and a desire to know what our place is in the body of Christ and how we can serve and how we can be a member of the congregation, and how we as a whole can be effective. If we're trying to extrapolate that information, then God's going to bless us with it. It's going to come forth. So, again, I just want to tell you that what I share today is not completely exhaustive. There's other things to learn, and that's exciting. Okay, we are on, as we have been for many, many weeks now, on the topic of understanding the three major aspects of the church, which are mission, message, and method. And we have moved through the mission, we've talked about the message, and we have been talking about God's method of accomplishing His mission and getting His message to the ends of the earth. We have said and continue to say that the church built God's way and according to His plan is His method. The gospel of the kingdom is to be taken to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. We must pursue His mission, preaching and living out His message according to His method. Not according to our method or anybody else's, but according to His method until the job is done. The church that Jesus is building is under construction and team effort is required at all levels. Next slide. We've been showing this slide many times, and We said that this is the church, the overview of the church government, the correct biblical church government, being built by Jesus, which is still under construction, and how it should be built. This is the plan of God, the will of God, and this is what we are aiming to strive for and see implemented. We've got a long way to go, but in order to accomplish the mission of reaching the world with the message, which is the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to submit to the headship of the church, the only head of the church, Jesus Christ, who has given us a means of seeing the Spirit of Christ and His ministry, the implementation of that, given to us through the fivefold ministry, the local church being led by the elders, and then the congregation who receives the benefit of being under Jesus' authority, having His Spirit flow through His fivefold ministry, being equipped by the fivefold ministry to do works of ministry, and then being led and loved and guided by the elders, also bishops, but we said that we were going to continue to refer to this office as elders. And then the congregation is going to be the part that touches the world. So if we have a powerful engine, we have all kinds of gizmos and gadgetry, we have the highest octane fuel, we have everything ready to roll, but we're sitting up on blocks and there's nothing touching the road, that car is not going to go anywhere. Where the rubber touches the road is the congregation. Where we get somewhere, where we have influence, and when we have impact, and when we're able to accomplish the will of God, it's not because we have some sort of special highfalutin, high-dollar pastor that can preach 18 times on a Sunday and just amaze everybody. That's going to win a few people. That's going to touch a few people, but it's not going to reach the world. I don't care how much we put His messages on CDs and MP3s and broadcast it on Twitter and Facebook and other things I don't have any clue about. That special one person guy is not going to get the job done. And it's not going to be through the elders who provide wonderful leadership and excellent counsel and love and care and shepherding for the people. That's not going to get it done. It's when the people who benefit from that then take that message and take it to Walmart, take it to their neighbors, take it all over wherever they go in the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom, that the rubber meets the road and all that power and energy and everything is becoming effective. We as a congregation, we as the members of His body, are what is going to get the job done. We need to stop looking at other people and thinking how special they are only. We need to realize their specialness and their uniqueness. We need to realize their gifting. We need to appreciate that and love and honor and all those other things. But we also need to realize that God loved me so much, He gave that to me so that I can be effective. Amen? Okay, next slide. We're talking about the ministry of the congregation. I want to just share with you a few words that all basically talk about the same thing, which is us. Congregation, and you will see here that the dictionary definition, I could give you the Greek, I could give you the Hebrew, they're going to say basically the same. But I'm going to give you just the normal English dictionary definition of congregation. A group of people assembled for religious worship. Number two, a gathering or collection of people, animals, or things. Well, I believe we fall into the people category there, most of us. So congregation is one word used in Scripture to speak of the gathering together of God's people, us, the local church. In Psalm chapter 35 and verse 18, the psalmist says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 149:1 says, Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. The next word we have describing this body of people is assembly. Assembly, again, the dictionary definition, is a group of people gathered together in one place for a common purpose. Assembly. We're also called an assembly. James chapter 2 and verse 2. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? It's talking about people coming in to the assembly as we're gathered together. Another word is gathering. And it's interesting to see how these words, although different words, they all refer to the same thing and use the other words as means of definition for that word. So gathering, an assembly or meeting held for a specific purpose. And that could also be the people that attend that assembly or meeting. So when we talk about the whole of God's people in a local church, we see that everything is in the plural. Now, this carries us back to early on in the series where we talked about taking the singular to the plural and the plural somewhere. I need to re-listen to my message. But basically, we don't stop with being singular. Anybody who has the thought, it's all about me, and as long as I'm comfortable, as long as I'm getting what I want, and we sing the songs that I want to hear, and we don't sing the songs I don't want to hear, and the preacher doesn't preach too long. We had a guy that some of us know said his grandfather used to, in the middle, toward the end of the service on Sundays when the Cowboys were playing, he had a loose-fitting watch that made a rattle noise, and when the preacher was getting close to the time he needed to leave to go, he would raise his arm and do that rattle, and he said, that's my signal to the preacher, he needs to stop. So, you know, we all have our preferences. We all have things that we would, you know, we prefer the walls colored this way, we prefer seats padded, I think we'd all prefer that. We have our preferences and everything, but basically, it's not just about us. It's about all of us. It's not about me. It's not about you in your own self. It's about all of us. And there's a lot of opportunities for me to put down my wants and desires in order for the benefit of the whole. But we see congregation, we see assembly, we see gathering. Early on in the series, we said that these words were used to describe also the church of God, that we're ambassador, and an ambassador is a singular position, but you never see an ambassador on his own. He's working as part of an embassy, and he's representing a country. So that ambassador is not really on his own. But we see family being used as a descriptor of the body of Christ. We see building, and there's no building made of individual anything. It's all different parts and pieces put together. Husbandry, body, or members of the body. Army, an army is not an army of one, never is, never will be. Workmanship, saints, and church. And the word church there, as we said again in the beginning of the series, we're tying everything up together and we're bringing everything full circle. So the thing that we started out with, we're going to end up with, but just with a little bit more detail. We said the church is the English word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia or ekklesia. I'm not sure the correct pronunciation of that. But it means called out ones. Those that are called out from the world. It means called together ones. It means people that have been individually chosen and picked and responded to the call from wherever they were, and they came into this thing called church, and they become a part of something bigger than themselves. So whether we're talking about the congregation, whether we call it congregation, whether we call it assembly, whether we call it gathering, whether we call it church, whether we call it family, it all has implications. And those implications, one of the main ones is, it's more than just me. It's more than just you. It's us together. Next slide, please. Okay. So, calling the body, calling us as a local church, calling us a congregation, or church, family, whatever we want to call us, what is our job? What is the responsibility of the congregation? Well, I've got five things here that are scriptural that we're going to look at as what is what we're responsible to do as the congregation. Number one, gather together. Okay, gather together. We saw that in the previous slide. Let's go back just once. Gather together. To become the congregation, we cannot, you know what it means to congregate? Congregation comes from those who congregate. Congregate means stay apart and ignore one another, right?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. To congregate means to come together, to flock together. It means to join together. Together is a big part of it. Assembly. If something is assembled, it's taken its pieces, necessary pieces, and put together. It becomes a whole instead of several parts. A gathering. A gathering, again, is bringing together. So go back to the... Yeah. So the number one thing that we are supposed to do as a congregation is to congregate. You cannot consider yourself a member of the congregation. Number one, earlier on in the series, much earlier on, we said that nobody's a real true part of the church unless they're born again. You can be welcome. You can sit there for years and not be born again, and we'll love you, and but we're always going to be trying to get you. We're always going, because we want you to have what God's given us. We want you to have eternal life. We want you to respond to the Lord. We want you to have His blessing. So you're welcome, but you're not truly a part of the church if you're not born again. But even if you're born again and you sit at home and don't go anywhere, but someone knocks on your door, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they come up and say, we'd like to talk to you about the end times. I've heard it all before and everything, but besides, I'm already part of a church. My church is Texas House of Prayer. That's where I belong. Well, you never go. There's something wrong with this picture. How can you be a congregation if you don't congregate? How can you be a part of the assembly if you don't assemble? So gather together is part of our responsibility. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people, he says, do that. But we cannot do that. We cannot forsake assembling ourselves together. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching. This is so important. We need to exhort one another to make sure that you're a part of the congregation, that you congregate. You're part of the gathering, that you gather. You're part of the assembly, that you assemble. Next slide. Children, I need your help. Any children listening here this morning? Raise your hand if you're listening. Ava Lee's listening. Okay, got several more that are listening. Good. Okay. That's a banana. Is that a banana?
No.
Oh, bicycle. I knew it was a B word. I just got the wrong one. It's a bicycle. That's a pretty nice looking one too, isn't it? I dare say that many of you kids wouldn't mind having that bicycle. And some of you adults too. Susan and I have some really nice bicycles. We just need to ride them again. That's what she keeps telling me anyway. Okay, that is a bicycle that's put together that's whole. How many of you would like to have, you children, how many of you would like to have a bicycle like that? So we're not coveting. We want a bicycle like that. Yeah. Okay, next slide. That also is a bicycle. It's just not put together. It's not assembled. How many of you think that's a really nice bicycle to ride like that? Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have that one or the first one?
The first one.
The first one. Why? Because it's put together. Right? It's together. It's. Yeah, I don't even know if those wheels have spokes in them. I mean, that would be very hard to do anything with. Maybe you could throw those parts at stray dogs or something, I guess. I don't know. But I certainly wouldn't want that one, and I certainly wouldn't want Susan, as a grandma, to buy that one for one of her grandchildren, and I have to put it together for them. So, Susan, if you ever buy a bicycle, buy one like the first slide. Yeah, that one right there. Even if it's more expensive, I'd rather you get that one. Okay, so we see that a bunch of bicycle parts is potentially a bicycle, but it's not really a bicycle. It's bicycle parts. It's not together. It's not put together yet. Next slide. What is that called there, children? That's called a family. Who said that? Graham, you said family? You're absolutely right. That's a family. What do we have there in that family? Well, we have a granddad with hair. That's not true. Well, I guess some granddads have hair. The really blessed ones don't. And we have a grandma. We have a grandma that looks like a grandma. Some of you kids have grandmas that don't look like a grandma. But anyway. And we have a daddy and a mommy and a little baby. And we have a sister, an older sister, and an older brother there. And one in the middle. And that's a nice looking family. They look happy. They look. Isn't it nice when families come together? I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving when family comes together. Even for a little while, we're all together in one place. And we share together. I'm not able to do my extended family together this year for different reasons, but my family, my children and grandchildren are all going to be together, and that's a nice thing to have a family. So that's a family that we can assume is together because they're all there. So next slide. What was different between that one and the one before? Anybody know? Raise your hand. What is it?
It's not a whole family.
What's missing?
The rest.
Who can tell me specifically what's missing?
Noise.
You know what, Jason? In preparing this, I knew. I knew that would not be a big deal to you. Temporarily. What's missing? Go back to the other slide. Look at this one. Okay, and then go to the next one again. What's missing?
The camera.
The what?
The boy and the
girl on the outside ends are missing. We don't know where they are. Are they lost? Are they in the kitchen getting a pizza? We don't know, but you know, that's not what we knew as the whole family. And when the whole family's not together, they're smiling right now because I didn't know how to change the look. I didn't know how to change the look on their faces. But believe me, the mother and the father that have missing children would not be happy. And grandma and granddad would not be happy. They'd be on their knees praying. You know, somebody missing. There's people missing from the family. So the whole family's not together. It's not fully assembled. It's not fully gathered. It's not fully congregated. There's people missing. And although if they're missing for a good reason, like Craig is not here this morning and there's children missing, it's not for a bad reason. They're at home and they're not feeling well. We've prayed for them. We believe they're going to get better. But they're going to be back. I know them. They're going to be back. And just like when Eric has had to work and not been here, I don't like it when he's not here. There's something missing when he's not here. But I know he's going to be back. I don't worry about him. And oh, he's on his way out. But you know what? There's a lot of people in the church that have gone MIA, missing in action, and we don't know what's going on with them. We don't know why they're not here. And we all suspect from things that we know about them that it's not a good thing that they're not here. So what are we saying? Is that for us to be fully effective, the bicycle parts need to come together. As a family, if we use that analogy, for us to be fully happy and effective and at our full strength, we have to come together. And any time where people choose to be apart, and it's not because of something that's valuable, like a vacation or taking care of children that need it or whatever, it's just a decision made based on, I don't feel like it today. When we have that stuff going on, then people being apart has a negative effect on the whole. Now, we can get so big that, like in a lot of places, that when people don't show up, it makes no difference. They're not even missed sometimes. But I don't care how big we get, we need to bear in mind that we should be structured in such a way that somebody's missing those people. And there are subsets, subgroups within the overall group. But apart, what we need to see is apart is not together. Apart and together are two different things. And it's always more desirable to have together. If all you could get was the bicycle parts, then that'd be a good thing because you could build a bicycle with those parts. But to have a bicycle that's together, that is the goal. To have a family that comes together, that's the goal. Apart is not together. All other interaction and ministry flow out of the most basic of all things that we do. Did you know that coming together is the easiest part of what God has for us to do? Just being here is the easiest part of what God has for us to do. It's the most basic. And everything else, all other ministry flows out of that. In fact, it is so important that the psalmist says in Psalm 68:6, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God setteth the solitary in families. He takes those that are on their own, and He puts them with families. We should all minister to one another and make others who are not part of our immediate family feel as though they were. As we continue to grow and other people begin to come in, we'll have more than families come in. We'll have single people. We'll have single adults. We'll have single children. We'll have single teenagers. Every person that comes into our midst needs to be just adopted by families. They're going to be a part of our overall big family, but if we don't make them a part of our individual families, then they're going to get missed. We're going to think, well, Eric and Jennifer, I thought you had them. I thought y'all were kind of looking after Maggie. You know, Maggie's been coming for a while. And I thought y'all were. No, I thought you were. We need to make sure that every person senses that they belong to this family and that they belong to a subset of the family and that they have people inviting them to be a part of their family activities and so on and so forth. You know, we are not only the church when we are gathered together, just like Craig is part of this church, even though he's not here this morning for good reason. He's still a part of the church just because he's not gathered together with us. But gathering together makes us the church. When Susan and I were over in England and we were ministering over there, this is our home church. This is the body that we left to go do that ministry from. We, although we're very happy in doing what we were doing, enjoy doing what we're doing, we're blessed in doing what we were doing, we never felt like we were divorced from you people. I listened to the messages online over there. I wanted to keep up with what was being said. I couldn't keep up with the body life. I couldn't keep up with whatever prophetic words that took place. There's a lot that I missed out on, that we missed out on. But I never felt like I'm not a part. We always felt like we were a part. And we knew that when we were done doing the things that we needed to do, that we would be back here. Okay, next slide. Going back to the things that the congregation is responsible for. First of all, we're responsible to gather together. As I said, that is the easiest part of any of this. It doesn't go by feelings. It doesn't go by convenience. It doesn't go by anything else. It's saying, I belong there, and gathering is together, to be a part of the gathering is what gathering is all about. To be assembled together is part of what the assembly is about. To being congregated together is what the congregation is about. Then I need to be there. It's just simple as that. We all have vacation days. We all have times when we go visit other places, family, and travel to other places. That is fine. It's normal. It's everything. It's when our life is, I don't know if I want to be there. I feel like I could just, it's just me and God, and we get along better without all those people. That's not being a part of the congregation. Okay, gather together. Then, secondly, the responsibility of the congregation is to minister to or to serve one another. Remember the one another scriptures we talked about early on in the series? We had, I can't remember how many scriptures it was. It was close to 100. I don't know if it's on the short side of that or above that, but it's close to 100 scriptures in the New Testament talking about our responsibility one to another and how that is part of what we do as the body of Christ. We minister one to another. We come together not just to get, but we come together to serve. And we come together to serve individuals. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of preachers who they serve, but they serve as talking to everybody as one big group. There's nothing intimate about it. It's just talking to one big group. And it, when you develop a skill to do that, it's easy to do, but it requires no intimacy. It requires no listening skills, just speaking skills. And communication takes listening. It's a flow. It's a back and forth. So when we minister one to another, we get involved with one another's lives. We truly not only want to share what's going on in our lives, or we should want to share, but we're also open to hear what's going on with somebody else. How are you doing? How was your week? We're not just saying it because that's the only thing that we can think of to say. We really want to know, how are things going in your life? We want to get to know people on an individual basis. And we serve people on an individual basis. We'll talk about this in a minute, about serving the body as a whole and doing things for the whole body. But there's a little bit of difference between doing that and serving individuals, as finding out what individuals need. It may be something in their life. It may be something in their soul, in their heart, in their understanding. But it may be something as basic as they can't get around to weeding their garden or mowing their yard, or they're struggling with things. And you find that a lot of times with older people who, just don't have the mobility that they used to have. But to find out what needs people have and love them enough to be involved in their lives is extremely important. So, ministering to one another, serving one another, all the different one another scriptures, and then also making disciples, getting involved with people for their spiritual growth and benefit. We talked about that earlier on too, that we don't just leave a person's growth, spiritual growth, up to the ministry that takes place on a Sunday morning from the pulpit. We realize that we all are responsible. If we know something, if we've learned something, that we have responsibility to share it with others for their benefit. You know, you can't help if you truly love people and you truly know things and you see that other people don't know. You cannot ignore it. We cannot ignore where someone else is in their life, especially if they're going through a hurt period, a broken period. Something where what you know, what you've learned from the Scriptures could help them, making disciples. The next one is serving the body. That's not just serving people as individuals, but finding ways to serve the body as a whole. Now, in all of these here, did I say men? Men gather together, women don't need to. Men minister to one another, serve one another, make disciples, but women don't need to. Serving the body as a whole, men do that, but women don't. No, this is all of us. It's regardless of age, young people can be a part of this. Old people should be a part of this. Men should be a part of it. Women should be a part of it. There is no place in our thinking where we exclude anybody from being a part of the body ministry. Everybody can and should serve the body as a whole. Everybody should find a way of serving. You know, I remember back in the early days, when I first came to the Lord, we would sing songs, and you would pick up songs by just, we would sing them several times, over and over and over again. You picked up a lot of that. Then we'd sing them again the next week. And before long, you had a load of songs that you would know, and so we sang them. And then, to improve, there would be handout sheets. You'd come in and there'd be sheets that were handed out to everybody that had the words, and you'd flick through the sheets, or maybe put together in a little book, and you'd flick through the book and find the words to songs. And then the churches that were really moving on would have overhead projectors, and they would have somebody with a box full of acetates or slides that they would dig through, and they would have the names of the song indexed with the alphabet letters, and they would pull the... That's a good participation there. They would pull out the acetate for that song. As soon as the song started singing, they'd pop it up on the overhead projector. Then you had churches that were large enough and advanced enough where they had dual overhead projectors, one projecting on that side of the stage and one projecting on that side of the stage. And so you would have to have two people that were digging through the acetates, finding the correct song and plopping them up. And they would be in a race with one another. And usually they were teenagers that had that job. A lot of times it would be teenage girls, but they could be a teenage girl on one side, a teenage boy on the other side. But they found a way of joining in, and that became their job. And they took that very seriously. You know, we have a projector here, and it's a lot easier. Things are a lot more advanced. Somebody still has to run it. Either it's the guy speaking, and he's got the controls over here, and I'm not smart enough to do that, so I'm always going to need help if we have overhead slides to go with it. But what I'm saying is there are different ways of serving. Eric's doing the projecting the words to the songs. Michael's helping out projecting the slides that go along with the service. And I really, really, really appreciate their help in that. Don't take it for granted. Sometimes I've remembered to say thank you to Michael for doing that for my message, and sometimes I forget, but I'm always thankful. I get home and I think, man, I should have told Michael thank you, because it is very important. Appreciate that. But we all should be looking, how can I find a place to plug in and be that helpful? What can I do? And just because it looks like the two jobs that are very obvious are covered, perhaps those people need backup, and I'll tell you for a fact they do. Perhaps those people need breaks from time to time, and they'd have to tell you whether they do or not. And perhaps it's just people move from one thing to another, and it's time for somebody else to fill in there so someone else can go somewhere else. But the point I'm trying to make is there's always jobs to do. There's always ways to serve the body as a whole. What's in your heart? What's in your heart to do? If you had a choice to serve in any way you felt most fit you, your personality, your gifting, what's in your heart? Perhaps that's something that needs to be done. Perhaps you're sitting there because you have that on your heart. You're thinking, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? Well, maybe the reason why we don't do it is because nobody stepped up to say, hey, I can help in that area. What's in your heart? What's in your hand? What do you have skills to do, whether it's in your heart or not? What do you have skills to do? What are you able to do? God said to Moses, when God told Moses he was going to take him and use him to bring his people out of bondage, Moses says, who am I? I can't. The Lord said to him, Moses, what's in your hand? Oh, that's my shepherd's staff. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. He said, now pick it up. When he picked it up, it became something supernatural. Sometimes all we need to do is just give to God what we have in our hand, what we're trained to do, what we can do, and yield it to Him, lay it down. And then when God says pick it up, now we pick it up. Now it's a supernatural thing. That which was natural at one point is now supernatural because it's in God's hands. If we will take our skills and commit them to the Lord, God's able. I firmly believe, and you're going to have to make sure Craig listens to this, but I firmly believe that much of the growth that's taking place in his professional life is because he surrendered his skills over to the Lord and what he's doing for this body, and how he has benefited the body through yielding his skills to that. God is not going to see you unblessed. When we give our skills to Him, when we lay down what's in our hand, He can make it become supernatural. What's in your heart? What's in your hand? And then also ask yourself, where's the need? A lot of people go around saying, I'm not going to do that because I don't feel led. Like one preacher said one time, if you want to feel led, poke yourself with a pencil. You don't have to feel led all the time. You know, it doesn't have to be something that you're called to do, you're gifted to do, or anything. It just could be just because there's a need. Just because somebody needs to fill that position and you say, hey, that could be me. Those things don't last forever. Susan and I, our first job in the body of Christ as a couple was taking care and ministering to children in the church we were part of. We didn't do that forever. I'm not still doing that. I'd be happy to be doing that if that was our job. But God took us from there to the next stage. And we grew and learned from doing that. It's all a matter of... And I didn't particularly feel called to children. I just knew that there was a need. And so I volunteered Susan and me to do it. And we did it. And we did it to the best of our ability. And we grew. And God took us on from there. So don't always feel like I got to feel led. It's got to be something that, you know, I had a lightning bolt strike and God wrote it in the... He had the stars aligned and spelled out, be children's church worker. You know, I didn't need that. I just followed what I saw. God honored it. Next, the congregation is responsible to do the following: gather together, minister to and serve one another on an individual basis, then find a way to serve the whole body. Again, like I said, there's a lot of specifics that I'm not getting into, and it's left open for people to seek the Lord and for other ministry to come forth on this, but it's there. And the next one is honoring their leaders by, first of all, loving them. There's scriptures for all of this. For brevity reasons, I'm just going to read these bullet points. By loving the leaders, esteeming them very highly, following the example of their faith, remembering who gave them and why they are there, by obeying them, being purposely open to their scrutiny. A lot of people live their lives hiding and afraid. I had a woman one time in our church in England, a long time ago. They were getting so much out of the ministry that changed so much. And it's just unbelievable. The guy was a businessman. He had a very high position in a very well-known company over in England, in Norfolk area. Drove a fancy car. He's unlike all the other people in our church. Everybody else in our church was subsistence living. And they had a really nice house. They had everything going for them. They were coming. They couldn't believe how much they were growing. But little by little, I started seeing the wife kind of withdraw. And I said to her one day, and I said, what's going on? I see that you look like you're withdrawing and you're not participating and you look like a different person than where you were. She said, each week I come, she said, it seems like you can see into us. The Lord was using me prophetically and things would come up. She said, I'm afraid of what you might see. And I said, well, if God reveals something, I said, I never would reveal something that's personal to everybody that just needs to be between you and the Lord, and I could help you with that. She said, I know, I just feel like, you know, my whole life is open. I said, God never would embarrass you. She said, but I don't want Him to go certain places. And so she made her husband leave. He said, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. He said, you know, it's like my marriage will break up if we continue coming here. She wasn't open to God looking into her life. And God uses people to do that. And it doesn't get scary, but there's nothing I don't want God seeing in my life. And whoever has responsibility over me and the Lord, I want them to be able to see things. And I want to be able to open up. I have shared things about myself. I'm not going to get into it right now, but I went to Paul Randerson many, many, many years ago. And I said, can I meet with you? And he said, yes. And I said, I got something I got to get off my chest. And I shared with him something that, you know, I didn't feel like I could share with anybody else, but I wanted somebody to know. I wanted somebody to be able to see. I wanted somebody to speak into my life. And that's not a bad thing. I got help from that. We should never be afraid of scrutiny of our lives from those who've been given responsibility by God to do so. Don't run away from that, but be purposely open to it. And then submitting to counsel and to correction. and then supporting them and also the whole work financially. And then lastly, we're going to end here today. Participate in taking the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, to the ends of the earth. What is the congregation responsible to do? Gather together, minister on an individual basis. Don't be just a group person, but be individual relating. Then also minister to the group. Find there's jobs everywhere. Honor the leaders by all the things we talked about there. And then participate in being and taking the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. It starts with where we are now. It starts with our Jerusalem. It starts with our hometown where God has given us the responsibility for our Jerusalem, where we live, our hometown, because we live here. But then it's being open to do anything God wants us to do and being willing to participate, whether it's going ourselves or being a part of a group that goes or being part of those who send those that go. But everybody participates in seeing the gospel taken to the ends of the earth. That's the ministry of the congregation. That's how the gospel is going to get to the ends of the earth. It's not going to be through TV stations alone. I'm not saying they don't have a use and don't have a purpose, but that's not going to be the arm that gets put around the shoulder of somebody that's hurting. That's not going to be the knee that kneels down to somebody who needs prayer. It's not going to be the person who gives money to somebody who's destitute of food. TV ministries can only do so much, and it's not their job to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's the congregation. It's our job. That's what I'm signed up for. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm excited about. I hope you are too. It's what's worth living for. It's what's worth getting up in the morning for. It's what's worth laying your life down for. To be a part of that which Jesus is building and touching what that what Jesus wants to touch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your people that have gathered together. Thank You for the privilege of being in relationship with these people. Lord, we have so much to give to one another, and we have so much to give to the world. I pray that we see, regardless of how responsible we are in our everyday life with children, with work, with responsibilities, help us to see, Lord, our spiritual responsibility and do what we absolutely can to fulfill Your call upon our lives. Thank You for this instruction this morning. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Help us, Lord, and help us to become effective in what You called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.